This is Away, you're on Radio National. Always was, always will be. That's the theme of NAIDOC Week 2020. And there's a few ways to interpret what that means besides the literal. It's a statement of longevity, of survival, defiance, and activism. Today, the survival part. And you can't survive the driest inhabited continent on Earth without understanding water and how it ebbs and flows. In this special feature by producer Jane Ullman, blackfellas from all over share their words and their wisdom, as well as their concern for the future of our most vital resource. Our guide is Kamilaroi man Brad Mogridge, who's a hydrogeologist. This is living water.
Nuku.
Kukuni.
Ngoko.
Garu.
Ngoko is the water.
In Noongar language, some say Geba, some say Gaba. I've been taught to say Kiep.
Ngajang.
Kwaja.
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 That's the Western Aranda.
Kamilaroi mobs, Gali or Gali.
They're the Mari Mari people.
Kappa.
Ngayogo, Wanga, Pijanjara, Ngayronganyi, Kapi. Kapi.
Pijanjara.
Kapi.
Yurana, the place of water.
Nyempa. Gali.
Minna.
Southern Pijanjara, they say Minna.
Ngapa.
Yeah, water is Ngapa.
What we call water in our language, in the Wurdi language, is called Kamu.
Wangobiri Ngabalengai.
A sacred water that fell from the heavens.
The word Barkindji means people that belongs to the river.
Biri in our language means river people of the Bowen River.
We live in a desert right in central Australia.
We get our water from underneath
and we rely on our underwater stream.
We are water people.
My nana, she believes that everything travels along the waterways. You know, the people travel that way. The language travels with the people. Ceremonies, the culture, it all follows the waterways.
Tropical top end of the Northern Territory. Writer, Marie Mankara.
My mother was Rimbaranga, so that makes me Rimbaranga. And she married a Tiwi. I was born on the banks of the Mainriu River in Arnhem Land. And that's where my ashes will go when I die too, in that same place. So the water's very special. And we believe there too that our connection with that river where we are born, that's our land all the way through until it gets into the ocean. Those crocs will be out there in the mud somewhere, keeping nice and cool. They'll be watching us too.
Are there many crocodiles here?
Yeah. You sort of like can feel them sometimes just watching you, you know. You don't know where.
Yama. My name's Brad Mogridge. I'm a Kamilaroi man. I'm a university-trained scientist, environmental science, and also groundwater, which is, well, hydrogeology. What I'm trying to do now is make a difference and make sure that Aboriginal people have a say in water.
Formerly with the CSIRO, Brad now manages the country's only Aboriginal water unit.
Water for Aboriginal people is crucial for, obviously, survival, but identity and part of language and law, and we are the driest inhabited continent on Earth and we could be the oldest living culture on the planet. So the understanding of water was part of survival. If our ancestors and our old people didn't know where water was in the landscape, Aboriginal people wouldn't be here today. And especially, you know, I think Australia is about 70% semi-arid. You got to think that different mobs all over the landscape are still here and they still talk about water places, they sing about water places, they dream about water places, they have lore about water places, and they teach the next generation about water places. And it's in the art, it's in the songs, it's in the dance, it's in the lore, it's in the song line. So water is a key part of who we are.
Semi-arid central Australia, Ilpapa, west of Alice Springs. Marion Baden-Williams.
Well, this is where the two women dreaming, Kunga Kudara it's called, they come from the western desert.
Ilbeleng,
yeah, that's another water dreaming area. So, yeah, they come here and they're doing their ceremony here, dancing here before entering Alice Springs. Mbandua, central Aranda name. And we're here now at that water dreaming area, and I'm not the traditional owner, but the caretaker of this area. And my husband is water dreaming from Hermannsburg.
So we got the lightning, we got the hailstone man, we got the rain, and my great-great-grandfather, he was the chief of all those men.
Mm.
He was a big boss man. He was conjurer. And conjurer meaning powerful man. I'm a custodian of water here. My home, I'm the boss of the water.
Cooperating.
When I go to ceremony with senior elder men, we're talking about water, we talk about the sun, we talk about grass, we talk about bush tucker, we talk about all sorts of things. And the senior elder men say, all these things need water.
You got to know your environment, that strong connection to country and water. And, you know, a lot of the old people say, well, healthy water, healthy people, healthy culture, healthy country, you know, and they're all interlinked. If one's out, it can put the rest out. So I suppose that intrinsic knowledge is embedded in the way we think and the way we feel and the way we go about our business.
It's the first time I've ever seen water in these creeks, to be honest. 20 years I've been coming out here. You got plenty there.
So how often have you heard running water at Mutawindji, do you reckon, mate?
Last time was 2012. To us as local Aboriginal people, we always talk about Mutawindji meaning place of green grass and water holes. So what we're going to do now is head out here towards what we call the stencil galleries. We'll then complete the loop.
You know, there's still a lot of stories out there that people still live by, you know, and, you know, little things like in a dry landscape, you find a couple of water holes. You don't drink from the top one because that'll contaminate the bottom one potentially. If you mess with a spring that might have a rainbow serpent story, or a, for us as the gutia, but if there's an aspect of you being proven to cause harm to a water hole in a dry landscape, that's trouble.
Significant rock art site, Mutawindji National Park, northwestern New South Wales. Mark Sutton, Mullyngupa Tribe.
Here we can see a large white outer circle with the smaller white inner circle. That's the symbol for a waterhole. If I stand directly in front of that symbol, it's now pointing me straight at that waterhole at the top of that gorge over there. For our local tribe, our sacred colour is white ochre, or kopi in language, K-O-P-I. I'm certainly never allowed to paint rock art with that sacred colour. The only persons who are allowed to do that is the clever man and the clever woman. So the fact that this symbol for that waterhole has been painted in our sacred colour tells us that that waterhole is off limits. You're only allowed to access that water if you're here during ceremony.
When a lot of the water and land was given away, pretty much for nothing, as the frontier moved across, Aboriginal people were flora and fauna. They were on missions and reserves, so they didn't have a right to property or place. Language and a lot of their culture and about who they were was being lost. It's just sort of starting to happen now, I think. A resurgence in cultural knowledge becoming part of how we manage country, and I think that's the same with water, is that we need more reports into water management and cultural knowledge.
On the south coast of New South Wales, Ewan Monero custodian Warren Foster and Elder Ozzie Cruz maintain custom and ceremony and campaign to regain traditional fishing rights.
Dance is called Gayam Welcome, and a welcome dance we do that to invite other tribes and that to come in for ceremony to welcome them people on the country. When we come to places like this here and we sing, we talk in language, dance and sing a song, we bring that area back to life. we can't practice collecting our traditional foods because we looked upon as stealing it, which the food got stolen off us in the first place. Yeah.
Old people always believe that Gadu, the ocean, was alive. And you had to respect the life of that ocean. It was growing things in it for our daily hunting and gathering, but it was also alive too, and it watches you. And if it wasn't happy the way you were treating the fish, or you were overcatching, or you know, destroying wantonly, and then never turn your back on the ocean because the big wave will come over you. In fact, that was a law that they taught. You don't sit and fish upon wet rocks. The wave's already been over that. And you have a deep respect for the ocean and its movements.
Another part of science that I'd like to influence as well is the balance in ecology and the linking of totemic species of Aboriginal people. Everyone sort of has an obligation to look after certain species, and I think those species are important.
Whales, or you could have murra, the fish, whatever's in Gadu, the sea. They are totem, because we saltwater people here, so we've got to have totems to balance the ecosystem. If you eat them, you'll get sick. It's like you eating yourself. Black ducks, they both are totem, tribal totem. Then you've got personal totems, your skin totems, and then you've got ceremonial totems. And they all connect us to the animal world.
Parka, Weembicha, just mainly Darling River Blackfellas.
Makatinga is a freshwater stream.
Bilya is river.
Nguku Ngangala, that's mean the water fallen.
And we actually have a place on Bathurst Island called Kukuni. That's another fresh water.
Ngura is small lake.
Biri means river.
Kapila means open sea.
We do have one for creek, Abelar.
Water owl, Nguku Minga.
Mankurupranchi is sweet tasting water.
A spring, Yunji.
Gummo is the sacred water that we drink from.
Misty rain is actually a cultural and spiritual significance because it talks about a sign of something to happen.
Charmaine Councillor, Noongar woman from the southwest of Western Australia.
It's a real soft rain and it's a sorry rain. And we say, oh, someone must have passed away or something's happened. It's sad rain. Our ancestors are crying. And we call that dul. Dul is the misty rain. It can go for days. And it's just a sorry time.
My name is Adrian Borogubba. I belong to the Wanganjagalingu people. Our central lands are in the Galilee Basin in central Queensland. What we call water in our language, in the Wurdi language, is called kamu. And where there's a big water, it's called kamu kamu. Where the water runs, it's in the Bottlebrada. So the kamu kamu that runs through the Bottlebrada, that's where our dreaming began. That's our life source. The Gummo.
Part of my country is the Great Artesian Basin, probably the biggest underground basin, one of the biggest in the world as well. There's a lot of misunderstanding definitely about how it operates and how the water moves and how old it is. Our old people do talk about ancient water. Because groundwater is out of sight, out of mind, people just turn the pumps on and the water keeps coming. And I suppose that's the challenging bit for Aboriginal people because, you know, a spring would have been a very significant place. Because for a people that moved around in the landscape a lot, if there's no surface water, this water is your only water. As a lawman and lawwoman, you would do everything in your power to make sure that water's protected.
Underground water, our water travels. You see the ranges, it travels underneath. Because we get a lot of them rock holes. They're always full. They don't seem to dry up. There's always a leakage coming out from the underground stream along the ranges.
My country, my father's country, Pikili, our water there is just pure water. And we have two rainbow serpents there that look after this underwater thing. But next to there, we've got a mining company there. So there's a wall inside of the ground protects it. That's what we're told. But every maybe once a month, someone tests it to see if any radiation. It's uranium, by the way. But so far, the water's still good.
I was lucky to hear a story in Central Australia. There's an old man talking about places in the landscape, and he was telling the Northern Territory government that all these places are interconnected by groundwater. And the initial response was, "You're dreaming, old man." And then he went on to tell more stories about these places, and, you know, there's white water, red water, black water, and they're all interlinked. And I think the government spent a fair bit of money drilling, and they come to the conclusion that they're all linked. So, you know, these old people had the knowledge of all these places around where water is, because the survival aspect is built in.
It's a really big deal to us because all over Northern Territory we get the same water from underneath us.
From Makati, desert country near Tennant Creek, Kylie Sambo.
Most of our sacred sites are soakages. Like my mum used to tell me stories about when before when she was little and they used to travel, and my grandfather and grandmother used to walk with them, and they would know where to find water, where the soakages are, and they would dig and then find water.
An obvious point to look is at the bottom of foothills, where you get runoff and water is going to be available.
Oh, Chiripati. Birds hanging around in the desert, that means there's a water, ngapa.
Normally the existence of Australian native lemongrass, that's a good indicator of an ongoing water source.
In the creek beds, when the water dries up, people would make a soakage. When you dig down deep enough, it's quite muddy, and then the water settles and it's so pure and clean because it's filtered by the sand.
Lerapinda is a running water. Lerambarinja, tiny little water running. Kwach Algarinja, sweet, clear water. Kwach Itnamala, Kwach Itnan Itnan. Water is there permanent, and the other one watered there all the time.
We'll put together and sing. Let's praise God.
In my father-in-law's country, which is the Lake Eyre region,
traditional artist Kathleen Buzzacott.
He's a uranium protester. It's not because he's a radical black fella. The reason why he protests is because he was born in that land. And with the mining and everything that's gone on there, he's witnessed firsthand how much water is coming out of that artesian basin. Because the tailing dams that wash the uranium, they take a lot of water. And that water feeds the springs, and all those springs are there dreaming. It's just heartbreaking when you see those springs, some of them, are just mud.
My name is Mabel Quackerwood. I'm a Yoyi from Gladstone. I will be 80 in a couple of months' time. When I went to school, black kids weren't allowed to speak. I have never ever heard anyone speak the Bayeli language. That was all removed from us right down the east coast. And all those old people were shot or killed. My father was hidden underneath my grandmother's dress so as the people wouldn't take him.
When I was being taught, we weren't allowed to talk all the language all the time to the white missionary people, and they were just mumbo jumbo, so it sort of stopped us.
Do you have language?
Yeah, we do. We're from Warramungu land. For myself, I'm Warramungu Wanmanba, and for Rishona, it's the same.
Are you able to tell me any words for water? Okay.
No, I'm good. Yeah. Yeah, water is ngapa. Yeah. And that's her dreaming, is rain, which is ngapa, water.
the wonderful thing about Indigenous language all around the world, and the reason why we should be encouraging young people to be interested in language, is that if you become interested in language, you start becoming interested in the natural environment, because Indigenous languages are all about describing the natural world.
What are we, 228 years of white settlement, invasion of Australia? When you look at water management, what we're doing isn't right. And the way we're managing water needs to change. And how we share water, inverted commas, Aboriginal people don't have a share at the moment. Aboriginal people have to buy water, which was theirs at one point in time, you know. So another bit of what I'm trying to influence as well is how Aboriginal people have access to water, their right to water.
We don't feel that we really have a say in the allocation of that most precious resource. It is normally a government authority that has the ability to control water, and that really causes us concern, so much so that recently there was a community blockade held in Wilcannia to try and highlight some Aboriginal community concerns about water.
What do we want?
Water!
What do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Water!
What do we want it?
Now!
We call the Darling River Barker, we call the river Ngoko, but at the moment, our river's dying.
A lot of landmarks have been changed. A lot of water sources have been eradicated, like water holes and particularly springs and things like that. So at the moment, we're just in process of trying to retrieve those names, interviewing elders that still might know from the various areas of Noongar country.
A lot of their water places they don't get to, and a lot of their springs have dried up, a lot of their springs have been bulldozed, they've been dammed, their rivers have been rerouted, and that's another frustration for Aboriginal people, is that they can't get to these places to care for them. You're locked out and you can't maintain your cultural responsibilities to a certain place because you're not allowed there. And, you know, that's bloody sad. That's really sad, and you feel helpless because you can't do anything about it.
At an anti-mining conference, veteran campaigner Gamilaroi Elder Paul Spearham and Nathan Leslie.
This is not a new battle for Gamilaroi people. It's just a continued battle. And we have to make sure, with the help of the farmers, open that gate, please. Let me go back on there. Let me, because I'm not allowed on there. And that's wrong. It's not up to you to stop me from being on my land. No way. No way.
While mining protesters in New South Wales can face up to 7 years jail, the performance of ceremony on farmlands could protect the pastoralists and the Aboriginal sites from coal and coal seam gas mining.
We're not protesting. We're conducting ceremony, but we can't conduct ceremonies if people aren't on board with us, if they don't understand why we're doing our ceremonies. And if you want to be a part of that, we'll jump on board.
Adrian Burugaba.
We don't consent to them destroying our homelands and our laws and customs, our cultural heritage. We have said to Adani, no, and no means no.
Sovereignty is preserving the law, preserving what is sacred to us. And in a sense, common law is that I don't harm you, I don't harm your property, and I don't make false and fraudulent contracts. Very simple, we all can live by that. Aboriginal people have that enshrined in their law. If you know that something is wrong, you have your convictions, you have to act on those convictions. We can't rely on the state to tell us what's right and wrong, because they're lying to us all the time. So we have to tell people about those things that are sacred and special and significant to us, so that human beings can still coexist, because our dreaming is the past and the present and the future. So the water that created us is the water that sustains us and will be there in the future.
Yeah, it's really hard to protect when there's always the sideways agreement happening. These other people got paper saying it's okay, they did the right thing and all. But through Aboriginal law, we don't have paper, it's written on the land.
Yep.
Governments, NGOs, and they don't like smart, powerful Aboriginal people that wants to protect their land and water. They bypass them and go around to the weak people.
The vulnerable people.
And get their agreements on mining and drillings and stuff. Yeah, that's what's happening in Australia right now. They go past the strong people that want to fight for nature.
People that knows the significance of the sacred sites, you know.
Hello, my name is Lewis Walker. I'm a custodian from the east coast to the west of the range, from the mid-north coast of the Bunjalung. Our future for 25 years is cleaning up the riverways and the mines and rehabilitating. It's our grandchildren and their grandchildren has given us the urge to survive. Don't forget our knowledge. Don't forget our law. L-O-R-E. Love one another, respect each other. L-O-R-E.
Living Water was recorded and produced by Jane Ullman with sound engineering by Philip Ullman. The narrator was Brad Mogridge. You can find a full list of credits and the names of all the speakers on our website, abc.net.au/rn.